Neuju.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Angleži proti Francozom v Kamerunu. V srednjeafriški državi Kamerun se v zadnjih mesecih zaostrujejo odnosi med anglofonsko in frankofonsko skupnostjo. Spor traja že dlje časa, a zaradi svoje nasilnosti protesti v angleško govorečem delu Kameruna v zadnjih mesecih izstopajo. Angleško govoreči prebivalci trdijo, da so napram francosko govorečim zapostavljeni. Najprej pa za lažje razumevanje situacije nekaj zgodovine. Leta 1884 je Kamerun postal nemška kolonija. Po prvi svetovni vojni sta mandat Društva narodov za upravljanje ozemlja dobili Anglija na manjšem zahodnem delu in Francija na večjem vzhodnem delu. Po osamosvojitveni vojni v drugi polovici 50-ih let se je francoski del osamosvojil. V angleškem delu so Združeni narodi leta 1961 organizirali plebiscit, na katerem so se prebivalci odločili o pridružitvi Nigeriji ali francoskemu delu Kameruna. Dve tretjini prebivalcev severnega dela, ki je večinsko muslimanski, se je odločilo za priključitev k Nigeriji. Manjši, južni del, kjer prevladuje krščanska vera, pa se je odločil s francoskim delom Kameruna vzpostaviti Federalno republiko Kamerun. Leta 1972 po referendumu o ustavi sta se angleški in francoski Kamerun združila. Spremembe so podelile več moči predsedniku države, prav tako pa sta se strani med drugim dogovorili, da bosta tako angleščina kot francoščina uradna jezika v državi, ter da bosta enakopravna. Volilna udeležba je bila 98,2%, predlog pa je podprlo 99,99% prebivalcev. Država je razdeljena na 10 regij, dve od teh sta anglofonski. Kolikšno je razmerje med angleško in francosko govorečimi, katerih ustavnih določb se domnevno ne spoštuje in kaj moti anglofone, pove Kamerunec z francoskega dela Cedric Klein, ki poučuje na gimnaziji Vič.
To have an idea of what it represents, 20% of the Cameroonian population is English speaking. And 80% of the Cameroonian population is French-speaking. On the paper, on the constitution, both languages are the same. That's on the paper. In fact, what's happening right now is not really new. What's new is the extent it's taking, the violence in this kind of movement. But in, as I said, in reality, the English-speaking part of Cameroon, they always felt that they were left out in the country. They don't have a lot of political representation. In the parliament, all the laws that are passed should be in French, in English. Some of them are, most are not. In the English-speaking part, a lot of the important position, official positions, are held by French-speaking Cameroonians. And so they, for a very long time, the English, with the anglophones, the English-speaking Cameroonians felt that they were left out.
Protesti, ki se trenutno odvijajo, so korenine pognali v oktobru. Takrat je k protestu pozvalo Združenje anglofonskih odvetnikov, ker se predsednik ni odzval na njihovo pismo pritožb iz leta 2015. Nasprotovali so razkrojevanju tako imenovanega britanskega pravnega sistema, poznanega kot common law, zaradi imenovanja sodnikov, izobraženih v francoskem pravu, ki naj ne bi razumeli precedenčnega prava, na katerem je osnovan sistem, uporabljen v angleško govorečih delih. Kamerun ima sicer dvopravni sistem. V dveh angleških regijah se uporablja angleški pravni sistem, torej precedenčno pravo, v francoskih regijah pa se uporablja francosko civilno pravo. Sodniki so zahtevali odstavitev neprimernih sodnikov in ponovno vzpostavitev federalizma, ki je bil odpravljen z referendumom leta 1972. Protestom je prispeval tudi upor študentov in profesorjev zaradi vse večjega števila profesorjev, ki v angleško govorečem delu poučujejo samo v francoščini. Strasti je razvnelo tudi načrtovano srečanje v Bamendi, prestolnici severno-zahodne angleško govoreče regije, ki ga je organiziral nepriljubljeni minister Paul Atanga Nyi. To je sicer tudi mesto, kjer je vzniknila socialdemokratska fronta, največja opozicijska stranka v Kamerunu. Nadaljuje Klein.
October or November, they started some strikes in Bamenda, which is the capital of the northwestern part, the English-speaking part, because they actually those were students and teachers who were striking because they thought that they shouldn't have so many teachers who are teaching exclusively in French. After all, this is an English-speaking part, and the French language was used more and more, and they didn't like that fact. So they started strikes. Also, a few lawyers started a movement to demand that some of the legislation in the English speaking part should be written in English, which I think would be normal. And so far, those were peaceful protests. What happened is the party in power, the party of the president, Paul Biya, who has been president in Cameroon since the date of my birth, which is 1981, so he's been his party has been in power for more than 30 years, and they decided to have a big meeting conference in Bamenda, the northwestern capital of the English-speaking part. And Cameroonians of that part felt it was some kind of provocation. So the protest became more violent at that point.
Kaj točno se je dogajalo na protestih, pa ni čisto jasno. Protestniki in policija imajo vsak svojo zgodbo glede protestov, ki so se odvijali v prvem tednu januarja.
Here things are a bit blurry. Some people say that they went so far as to burn a police station. You have like the version of the protesters and you have the version of the police, the official police. So you don't really know who's telling the truth. But the fact is that the police also became very violent. There's an estimate that 2 to 4 people were killed. There are lots of reports that many women who were participating in these protests were raped by the police force. And it became increasingly violent. They moved a lot of police forces in that region. They deployed heavy vehicles, tear gas, and things like that. So it became really violent. The protesters say they never put fire on a police station. And the police version says they became violent because they were attacked and there was a fire at the police station. So they became violent because of that. They said it was some kind of self-defense. the protesters said there was never any attack on any police station. What happened for sure is that they marched in the street and they rounded up a few tires that they burned on the street. That's something that happened. But about the police station, nobody really knows. I mean, there's different versions about it.
V oddajo se vrnemo po kratkem glasbenem premoru.
Votez pour lui, votez pour moi, ce que ça change, me demandez pas. D'en faire confiance plutôt crever, mon avis ne les intéresse pas. Pourrais gerber, pourrais crier, ce que ça change, ils écoutent pas. Pourrais mieux désannoter, même arrêter de consoler. Mais ça vaut mieux que de se flinguer. Ça sera peut-être pire, mais dans le sapin, tout le monde dira que j'irai un mec bien. Toujours comme ça que ça se passe. Quand on est mort, on a la classe. Sauf le suicide, pareil que c'est lâche. Mais c'est le vote que ça vous casse.
Nadaljujemo z južno hemisfero, v kateri se ukvarjamo s težavami angliško govorečih prebivalcev Kameruna. V prvi polovici januarja so se bila pogajanja med kamerunskim konzorcijem anglofonske civilne družbe, ki je nekakšen skupek vseh protestirajočih organizacij in vlado. Po smrti štirih ljudi pod streli policije med pogajanji so pozvali k civilni nepokorščini po principu mrtvo mesto oziroma angleško ghost town, ki je bila napovedana za 16. in 17. januar. Ta pristop se je uporabljal že v protestih v 90. letih. Kaj to vključuje, nam pove Klein.
Okay, this is a bad translation in English, I would say. This is a movement that, I think this is a movement that we did also already in the 90s, which in French is called Ville Morte. It's a kind of strike movement. Not only people don't go to work, but also they really paralyzed the city So a ghost town, if you will, is that not only people will strike but by not going to work, but they will not allow cars to drive down the streets. They will not. There will be nothing open, no commerce open.
17. januarja pa se je oblast odločila prepovedati konzorcij anglofonske civilne družbe ter nacionalni svet južnih Kameruncev, ki se zauzema za odcepitev. Vlada je tudi aretirala predsednika in generalnega sekretarja konzorcija ter omejila dostop do interneta v angleško govorečih regijah, s čimer verjetno želi preprečiti mobiliziranje ljudi preko socialnih omrežij. Kot omenjeno, predsednik Kameruna Paul Biya je na oblasti že od začetka 80-ih let prejšnjega stoletja. Klein razloži, kako mu uspeva premagati vsak odpor.
You have to remember another context, which is we have a president who has been in power for more than 30 years. The country is a country of many different tribes, many different tribal groups. So he has to deal with that. And the way he deals with it usually is when something like that happens, when you have like a strong political leader coming from, let's say, the northwestern part and opposing him, there's two ways usually he deals with it. The first way is that he offers him a great position in the government. This happened in Bamenda, in this northwestern part, where when there was this kind of movement, the leader of this movement or some of the political leaders became ministers in the government. Actually, I think the former minister or the prime minister that we have right now, I think is actually from this part. One of our Supreme Court judge is from this part. But every time these people were nominated were in times like this, when there were lots of troubles, you know. So there's one way, it's just to make them part of government so they will not be protesting or opposing the government. The other way would be a repressive one, you know, putting pressure on them, vilify them and things like that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it happens that it could get worse. Usually, you know, when you offer the position of power, you don't turn them down.
Sogovorec pojasni tudi, kako vse od samosvojitve oblast v rokah drži samo ena stranka.
First, because it was the only party. First, not now, but first. It's with RDPC. So this movement was the first group, if you will, like the first party after the independence. The only party after the independence. It was the party, of course, of the president, our first president, Aiju, and then it was the party of our second president right now, Paul Biya. And only in the 90s, actually after this movement of ghost towns, as you say in English, only in the 90s, Cameroon became a multi-party republic, if you wish. So other parties were allowed to be, you know, to political parties to be in the parliament, to reach position in the parliament.
Gibanja, ki so se zauzemala za politične spremembe, so vzniknila že v 90-ih letih. Nadaljuje Klein.
There were actually many movements, many protests in the 90s. I think there were many people died also. And actually the groups that are now political parties, some of them were from the English-speaking part, and they were very well organized. And it's actually thanks to them that a few things happened in the country. They were the SDF, Social Democratic Front, which is, I think, the first, I mean, for a long time, and I think till today, the first opposition political group is actually from the English-speaking part. So in the 90s, all these groups were marching and protesting for multi-partism, to be allowed to have a voice in the parliament. and they obtained it in 1990.
Država pa se ne zauzema za izboljšanje položaja angliško govoričih regij.
There is no real position of the government to make things better for them. And of course not, because they don't have many resources. If they had many resources, the government would probably be more involved in these parts. So they want more autonomy to be able to take matters in their own hands, in their own region.
Anglofonsko prebivalstvo protestira tudi proti črpanju nafte z njihovih območij, za kar domnevno ne dobijo dovolj v zameno. Nadaljuje Klein.
The oil problem is also a very complex one. The oil problem is well, this is not going to, yes, if of course if they change and they get more autonomy, they will be able to vote on that, but I think that's also one of the reasons they will never get what they're asking for. The oil resources are mostly deal. It's mostly a deal between the multinational which exploit that oil. For a very long time, it was the French multinational Elf. Now it's been divided through different other multinationals, some Chinese also. It is said that mostly the revenues of oil go through a different system. You know, it's not directly related to our national budget. Some of it is said to go directly in the pockets of the president and some of the powerful people in the country. I think people who have interest in the oil business and in the oil industry are also the people running the country. And I don't think they are willing to let that go.
V 90-ih letih so se v francosko govoričih regijah odvijali protesti zaradi dviga cen življenjskih potrebščin. Kaj se je cimilo iz tega, pove Klein?
There were already some manifestation and strikes and protests in which there were deaths, not in these parts, but in the French-speaking part. I think it was in the at the end of the 90s, around 2000. I think it was because of the surge of primary resources prices, like rice and things like that. And there were many protests, and a lot of people died. But what happened again, as I said, is that the medias were mute and nobody heard about it. I mean, it was difficult to get the information here in Europe. But I think a lot of people died and we'll never know how many because, you know, the medias were mute.
Kakšni so možni razpleti nadaljevanja protestov, za današnjo južno hemisfero zaključi Klein.
If it gets too violent, there will be like a national conference, meeting with the leaders of the movement. They will probably be, as I said before, offered a key position in the government, and the movement will die of a slow death. Otherwise, it will get really, if they are really serious about this time, it will get really violent. And even if it does, I'm not sure anything will happen after that, because it's a poor, I mean, not really, but yeah, it's kind of a poor region in Cameroon. They don't have much, and they cannot really stand a fight with the government. Also, if it gets more violent, probably we're not going to hear about it in Europe outside of Cameroon, because the government is going to muzzle the press, muzzle the media, so that no information goes out.
Južna hemisfera je pripravil vid.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how they rule. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.